In this series of verses, one point is highlighted, that a prolonged life is of no use, a prolonged material life, but a brief spiritual life is very valuable, or even a moment of spiritual life is far more valuable than a prolonged material life. In many of these purports, Srila Prabhupada talks about how in the modern times there are scientists, literati, educators, philosophers, scholars, doctors, engineers, everyone. He's giving a long list of them. And he says how all these people are submerged in the illusion of material advancement. And to the extent that sometimes even so-called religionists are also appreciating the material advancement. Once Suhatra Maharaj had come to Pune, he was telling one great Swamiji, one of the Shankaracharya Swamiji, and Dr. Kalam, they both were holding a meeting for thousands of students of some engineering college. In that program, Dr. Kalam was talking about how we are trying to send rockets to other planets to study Mars, like Mars probe or something. So Shankaracharya also spoke up in the mic afterwards, and he told the students that all of you should make science your deity, and you should work hard and make India a flourishing and technological country or something like that. So it is very amazing to see how even the so-called religionists are bewildered and illusioned by the storm of materialism that is created in the modern times. Even their eyes have become afflicted by the dust of the storm of materialism in the modern times. That even so-called religionists can become bewildered. What then to speak of all the other categories of people who are submerged in the ocean of illusory waves of material world? So, often true spiritualists wonder how can one simply live a life of eating, sleeping, mating and descending and go on with life. Why don't they turn to God? Why don't they surrender to God? Why don't they chant the holy names? Why don't they take the spiritual life seriously? But there is a fundamental flaw in the understanding of materialists, which actually keeps them going in illusion. That is explained to Prabhupada in the subsequent purports, we will hear it. What is it? They have no understanding of what is death and what is life. Death, according to them, is end of everything. Till death, enjoy life. Eat, drink and be merry, enjoy life. When death comes, everything is finished. They have no idea. Prabhupada explains about what is death. Death is like a long sleep. Every day we sleep some 6 hours. Death means you sleep for 6 months, he says. And then you get up to see yourself in a different body. Right now, every day in the night when we sleep, morning we get up and look at our body, we have the same body. But what is death? We lie down and we sleep and we get up and somebody finds a dog's body. Somebody finds the body has become a cat. Or somebody finds his body has become a tree now. That Nalakur Manigrave, when they were cursed and when they went to sleep, when they got up, they were in a tree's body. Isn't it? In this way, when a living entity is cursed, or when a living entity has to change body, the same Atma goes into another body. He has to just have a change of body. So, whatever one's mentality is flavored by, that actually creates the next body. That is the most fundamental understanding Bhagavad Gita explains. Just like when somebody wants to construct a building, they start bringing everything. They first put a compound wall, fence, then they dig the ground, then they bring the stones for foundation, they bring the bricks, they bring the reinforced bars, they bring all kinds of necessary elements, which means already the house is getting prepared, even before it is constructed, because the ingredients are ready now. Eventually it will be made. And depending on how much money one has, one may go for a very opulent bungalow or a simple bungalow or whatever. In the same manner, every thought, word and action that we are doing in this life is a preparation for the next life. We are the maker of our own destiny in the future, depending on how we live our lives. So, this is the fundamental knowledge that is lacking in the educational system. Yesterday I had gone to meet one big family of some devotees and some upcoming people. A young boy, I asked him, "What is death?" He said, "Because death means the soul leaves the body at the time of death." He said, "You know, and then what happens to soul?" I asked. He said, "Oh, the soul will occupy another body." "What body will it occupy?" "That depends on our karma. Depending on how we have lived our life, we'll get them." I said, How did you know these things? You are a young boy." He said, "I attended a device course," he said. So I came to a temple and somebody put me in the course, I attended. So I was so happy when I heard that. I felt every child should get an opportunity to hear the basics of Bhagavad Gita. It is so important. And this boy, his eyes are so clear, he is so happy, because he knows. And he was asking me, "I am studying for IIT JEE entrance, but I find that there are always boys whom I can never outdo. You know, they are always smarter than me. How can I beat them or how can I become equal to them?" Of course, I said, "You can go to them and ask them what is their method of study. You can learn and you can try to improve. But there are always people below us, there are always people above us in life. There is something called destiny also, prarabdha karma. And there is God above us who has decided who should have what type of face cut, who should have how much money, who should have how much opulences. He allots opulences to everyone. And we have to be satisfied with that. And we can endeavor our best and then leave it to God. But he said, "Is there any way by which, is there any material way or spiritual way, some way by which I can beat others, get ahead in life?" I said, "Materially we cannot change much, destiny. But spiritually Krishna wants, we can change." So we were discussing these things. Young boy, he's just 15 years. So even such children are able to understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. The only pathetic situation is that they are not taught in the schools and colleges. They are kept in darkness. They are graduating into nothingness. They are simply groping in the dark when they come out of the schools and colleges. And because of lack of knowledge, then people are living life like animals. Like here he says, Prabhupada is talking about the prolonged life, and later on, in the next chapter probably, here, in the third chapter of the second canto, there is a verse which talks about how there are many creatures who live prolonged lives. So there, in the conversation, Shaunaka the rishis are presenting to Sutta Goswami, how there are so many living entities which live a long life but in vain, useless. They are asking, taravakyam na jivanti. In fact, they are considering the hardcore materialistic people, and seeing them, they are talking these verses, after having seen the materialistic people. Because when a devotee or a spiritualist looks at a materialist, he gets different types of emotions. One type of emotion is he feels frustrated. Why he feels frustrated? Why these people are wasting the human life? They are fastly gliding towards animal bodies in the next life. So he feels sorry to see that. Like one devotee was asking Prabhupada about, is modern man not technologically very advanced? And Prabhupada said, what is the use of this technological advancement? The dog is running on four legs and the car is running on four wheels. What is the use of this advancement? Prabhupada asked. And the devotee was saying, but Prabhupada, they seem to be very brave. They have big industries. They have big shopping complexes. They seem to be very courageous. Prabhupada said, they are bravely going to hell. He said, yes, they seem to be very brave, but where are they going is very important. They don't know where are they going. Because they are blind to the knowledge of reality. They are submerged in ignorance. So, there Prabhupada gives the example of a tamarind tree in Vrindavan, which is said to be existing since the time of Krishna, which is almost 5,000 years. And he is asking, compare the life of the tree with the life of Shankaracharya, who lived 32 years, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who lived 48 years. So, can we consider the tree's life to be more important or valuable to the life of this great sadhus? So, what is the contribution of a living being to this world? That should be seen. How long they live is not very important, but how they lived. What is the quality of the consciousness? What is the quality of the life? That is very important. And then he is saying, the materialist will argue that life in the tree and life in man cannot be compared, because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes and enjoying sex. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam asks whether other animals like dogs and hogs living in the same village with human beings do not eat and enjoy sex life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to other animals means that persons who are simply engaged in planning a better type of animal life, consisting of eating, breathing and mating, are also animals in the shape of human beings, he's saying. Animals in the shape of human beings. Those are only executing material life. A society of such polished animals cannot benefit suffering humanity. For an animal can easily harm another animal, but rarely do good. So, this is a very famous sentence, Prabhupada, what he wrote in the last line. An animal can only harm another animal, but rarely can do good. And Prabhupada is calling it as a society of polished animals. Sometimes Prabhupada will call it as royal. Kali Yuga is a royal edition of animals, it's to say. What is a royal edition of animals? They look very polished, but their behavior is animalistic. They do the same activity of animals. So, is it simply that we are name calling them as animals? No. Bhagavatam doesn't do a half job at all. Anything that is said in Bhagavatam is very crystal clear. Explanation is given there. Immediately the next verse talks about Shvabiduvara hostrakarehi samstuta purusha pashu nayat karana patopeto jatunama kadagrajaha. That verse is very famous and Prabhupada would often quote. Where four animals are said. One is a dog. I'll read Prabhupada so that you don't feel offended. If I tell you about these four animals, you will think Radhesham is adding something. I'll better read the purport. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a dogish mentality with which to accept the service of a greater master. After finishing a so-called education, the so-called educated persons move like dogs from door to door with application for some service, and mostly they are driven away, informed of no vacancy. As dogs are negligible animals and serve the master faithfully for bits of bread, a man serves the master faithfully without sufficient rewards. He's saying. So first thing is about the dogs, and Bhagavatam talks about these four animals. So the first animal said here is the dog. People get degrees which do not give them wisdom, which simply talks on Jada Vidya, study of dead matter. Actually, originally, in this world, the education was started only for building character in human beings. Originally, even Winston Churchill says about that. Education is for building character, not for teaching trade and technicalities. In fact, if you see, even animals have the ability to build homes. If you see honeycomb made by a honeybee, or you see the beaver making beautiful bridges, you find so many animals and birds building amazing homes. Like anthill is so finely made by the ants. So they never went to school or college to learn these things. Civil engineering, they have to learn to build their anthill. No, in fact, we learn from them how to build a house. So, the knowledge of how to construct a house is a detail. Trade and technicality, craftsmanship, that is not the purpose of education at all. Then somebody may say, what about our livelihood? How will I maintain my family? You know, how will I fill up my belly? For that, one doesn't have to go to college. Prabhupada is asking, are the birds becoming engineers and doctors to earn their livelihood? Or the dog, or the donkey, or the cow, or the bull, they never go to college to earn their livelihood or fill up the belly. How are they getting their food? In fact, the animals which eat a lot, like elephants, they don't have to study to earn their livelihood. If for eating and for making a house you don't need education, then why do you need education for? Education is only for converting an animal into a human being. Of course, you cannot make an animal into a human being. But when a man is born, he is like an animal. But education should make him a human being. Janmana jayate shudra samskara bhave dvija. So, the education should teach him all the qualities, like the internal qualities, and which manifest externally in his behavior, sadacha. So, otherwise they will be like a polished animal. They may dress very nicely with coat, suit, tie, shoes and shake hands, but they will be greedy to exploit one another. Just like we see many countries, they shake their hands in the morning and they sign a peace summit, and evening they throw a bomb in another country. So what is it, gentlemanly? Why? Because they are animals. Because they have no character. Because they have no principles in life. For the sake of money, they will do anything. For the sake of looting money, they will do anything. In fact, the purpose of education is this, to highlight the importance of godly qualities. The character, integrity, truthfulness, trustworthiness, honesty, and all those things. Which actually have to be very carefully trained from childhood and youth. These things should be given. And then one, as one grows, the ultimate goal of life is to not become a moralist. That's not the goal. The morality is a springboard. Attaining these godly qualities acts as a springboard to understand that Supreme God. When we see people with great qualities, we develop more faith that there must be a person, God, who must be having all these qualities, good qualities. So in this way, Prabhupada is condemning the modern education. Why? Everyone in the modern day situation is in the same rut. You know what is a rut? Like in the Canadian Northlands, sometimes there used to be heavy rains in the beginning of summer season. And then when summer gets hotter, all the roads in which the lorries go, you know, they get set. And when the winter comes, they get frozen practically. So sometimes they would, you know, place a board there. Choose the rut that you want to be in for the next 100 miles. Because once you get into it, you can't get out. So there, like one rut is going in one way, and another rut is going another way. Of course the same road, but if the lorry is going to it, they can't move in any side. They have to go like that, because the wheels are making a deep impression like that. So that is how the word we say, choosing the rut, or getting into a rut, we say. So modern day society is a typical rut, especially in India. For example, any parent you ask, study, 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 and when the boy comes to 8th, 9th, 10th standard, Now that IIT JEE or IEEE, you have to become an engineer or a doctor or a chartered accountant, otherwise you are useless. So every mother and father want their child to get first rank in the class, in middle education. Indian mother and father think that if I can get my daughter married in life and settle her, or if I can make my son an engineer and send him abroad, then my ultimate goal of life is achieved. They think like that. And they think there is nothing beyond this in life, according to them. Because they themselves don't know what is the meaning of life, goal of life. How are they going to groom the children? According to Bhagavatam, Gururna Sasya, Pitana Sasya, Janinina Sasya, Daivam Natasya, Napasya, Namochiyeti Samupetam Rityam. Bhagavatam says, you cannot be called a mother or a father or a guru or a devata or a friend or a relative. You cannot actually assume any responsible position unless you can deliver your dependent from the cycle of birth and death and purify their consciousness and send them back to Krishna. Otherwise you cannot be considered a worthy shelter at all. But which mother and father can say, there are very few mothers like Dhruva's mother or like Rishabhadev, that type of father, very few. So most parents are materially oriented, so they have materialistic goals, and when they send their children to schools and colleges, schools and colleges are run by economic lords, they also have the same material goal. They have no understanding of spiritual life. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. As I told you, go into engineering college, after you come out of the college, even a chemical engineer will join a software company. Why? Everyone knows, because they want money. That's all. Very open secret. Any study ocean engineering and be sitting in software. Study any kind of thing. Reliability engineering and sitting in computer. All kinds of people. It's an open fact. So, and then what you have to do? Work for 1 or 2 years, then go to America after that. Go to America, go to London, keep going round and round in the world, making more and more money. Then have your bungalow, have your car, increase your material life. So the goal of modern day society is economic development, no other goal. As if economic development alone will make them happy. And then they die in disappointment like ignorant animals. Like it is said in the Garga Upanishad, one should not quit this world like cats and dogs who die in ignorance about the knowledge of the soul. Not knowing who am I, what is my duty, they don't even know. Yesterday there were a group of some 5-6 students had come from one of the colleges. They were taking prasad, so they had the science of soul session. So I was asking them, how many of you knew that you are not the body, you are the soul, before you attended this session? None of them raised the hand. I asked them, have you never heard the word soul before? And they said, they were wearing like this. All Indian boys. They're all Indian boys. There was no American or African there. Indian boys. They said, we never heard what is soul in our life. This is the first time we heard that there is something called a soul inside this body. I said, it's not the soul is inside your body. You are the soul. Not that you are the body and you put one soul inside. No. You are the soul and you are sitting inside the body like a bird sitting in a cage. So, it's very unfortunate. Now, we can conveniently push the blame on the modern day educational system and we can go on doing nonsense if we want. That is one style of, you know, passing the buck. But that is not going to solve the problem of, cycle of birth and death or becoming an animal in the next life. So, because the modern day education system doesn't support this type of knowledge, because they are all fastly gliding towards hell, every individual has to take initiative in understanding spiritual life. Actually, in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas were patronized by Kshatriyas. But now, if they are not patronized by Kshatriyas, then we have to take it up. So every individual in society should wake up to the knowledge, practice it oneself and preach it. That's why Prabhupada is condemning the modern day education system like the dog race. Dog going from door to door seeking a master who can wagging the tail and People are giving 15 hours of hard labor to software companies simply to accumulate money. What is a software company? What are they doing so important? Simply flying in the plane from one country to another country and from that country back to this country, it doesn't make you very important. Unless the quality of the work that you are doing is important. Isn't it? Simply running fastly doesn't make our life very important. Well, you are running fastly, but what are you doing running so fastly? That is very important. It's like if somebody says, you know, I have accumulated a room full of donkey stool. You know, I have so much volume of donkey stool. Yes, you have room full of donkey stool, but it is donkey stool. After all, it has no value. So we have to ask, what is the quality of the work that we are doing in this world now? In what way is it developing your consciousness? Is it making you, first of all, a better human being? And then, is it making you divine? So Prabhupada says, in one of the, I think in right in the next purport, I think. Yeah, sorry. See here, this is an 15th verse purport, is saying, one is therefore required to, foolish materialists in the garb of leaders of the people in general stick to family affairs without attempting to cut off relations with them, and thus they become victims of nature's law and get gross bodies again according to their work. Such foolish leaders may have some respect from people at the end of life, but that does not mean that such leaders will be immune to the natural laws under which everyone is tightly bound by the hands and feet. And then he's saying, a living being is meant for this is a beautiful point here. A living being is meant for service activities and his desires are centered around such a service attitude. A living being has service attitude and his desires are centered around that service attitude. Beginning from the top executive head of the state down to the insignificant pauper in the street, all are rendering some sort of service to others. The perfection of such a service attitude is only attained simply by transferring the desire of service from matter to spirit or from Satan to God. Very powerful this. So also Prabhupada says, training is needed to change the aspirations during the course of this present body. He is saying, what is the purpose of training? The training is needed to change our quality of aspirations. For example, when we were children, we were, you know, running after toys and balloons. That was the quality of our aspiration. When we grew up, then we wanted to play chess or play carom. So quality of aspiration, you know, improved a little bit. And then when we grew up even more, when we went to college, our quality of aspiration went to, you know, getting degree, you know, presenting some papers in some conference, presenting some seminars. So your quality of aspiration in life became, you know, I will become an engineer or a doctor or something like that. And then you become an engineer or a doctor, you are working in a company, you made a lot of money, now you have become a wealthy person in society. Then your quality of aspiration may be, let me do something for service of society. Let me build some school or let me do something. So then your quality of, so in this way the quality of aspiration from, can move from I to V and from V to others. It may improve. And in this way, while seated in this body, the Atma, you should become trained and educated to keep on improving the quality of his aspirations. That's the purpose of training. And ultimately you should be brought to a point where one understands Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava. Oh, Krishna is the pivot of whole existence. Everything is acting according to his will. Everything is controlled by him. There is no one equal to him or superior to him. The whole material nature is in the clutches of Krishna. As it is said, Jagat Vashe Vartate Idam Krishna Sasa Characharam. So when one can see the truth, then one will surrender to Krishna immediately. That's the next step. One can see the truth. Like Krishna says in 15th chapter, Yo mam eva asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvaved bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. Yo mam eva asammudho. What is the meaning of asammudho? Not bewildered. He is not bewildered about Krishna, that he is simply engaging in some social service or he is engaging in selfish activities. Asammudha means he is not bewildered about the truth. Janati Purushottama, and he understands the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Sa sarvavet. This training can be begun at any stage of life, he says. You can be a child like Dhruva Maharaj, or can be a youth like Parikshit Maharaj, or you can be old man like Dhritarashtra, who is about to. So training can begin at any stage of life, he says. Or even a few seconds before death, like Katvanga Maharaj. It can begin at any time. And then he is saying, but the usual procedure is for one to get the training from very early life in the Gurukula, from the stage of Brahmacharya, and gradually progress to Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas orders of life. The institution which gives such training is called Varnashrama Dharma or Sanatana Dharma. The best procedure for making the human life perfect. One is therefore required to give up the attachment to family or social or political life just at the age of 50 years, if not earlier. And the training in the Vanaprastha and Sannyasa Ashramas is given for preparation to the next life. So he is saying this. So in this way, the training should be begun at the age of 5. Already we are late. We wasted so many years. And whatever time one understands this knowledge, immediately training should be begun. So he is talking about the dogs. Why? Because the dogs are simply running after the bones, or the dogs are wagging the tail, and they are simply serving the material masters. He is talking about people who are giving some salary, and people run from pillar to post. They are taking so much tension, he is saying, in this way. So Bhagavatam talks about them as the first one. People, the so-called mundane education is condemned here. Then he is talking about hogs. Persons who have no discrimination in the matter of foodstuff and who eat all sorts of rubbish are compared to hogs. And then Prabhupada explains about all kinds of things like meat eating, hot dogs they eat, and people eat hamburger, people eat all kinds of dirty stuff, unmentionable in a Bhagavatam class. So people who are after the taste buds, for that they eat any kind of damn thing, they are condemned, although they are sitting in a human body. That is why Prabhupada says they are animals in the shape of human beings. That's why he is saying like that. They are compared to hogs. Shva vid varahoshtra ushtra is camel. So the camel is a kind of animal that takes pleasure in eating thorns. A person who wants to enjoy family life or worldly life of so-called enjoyment is compared to the camel. Materialistic life is full of thorns. And as one should live only by the prescribed method of Vedic regulations, just to make the best use of a bad bargain. Life in the material world is maintained by sucking one's own blood. The central point of attraction for material enjoyment is sex life. And then Prabhupada explains about how such kind of family life, one is actually Pumsahastriya Mituni Bhavametam. In that verse it talks about the principle of life in the material world is this. And in the Vedic times, the sex life was not so much stressed. In the Vedic times, sometimes you find a king is crying that I don't have a son, although he has many, many queens, just like you find Dasharath Maharaj, you know, he wants a son, although he had a daughter, Shanta, he had a daughter, but he didn't have a son, so he was crying. On the other hand, there was Romapad, he had many sons, but he didn't have a daughter, he was crying for a daughter. This is the material world. Whatever you have, you always cry for what you don't have. Those who have sons, they want daughters. Those who have daughters, they want sons. Because there is also, especially in the Indian Vedic civilization, for people to have, those who have many sons, they would hanker for a daughter, just like Gaumapada. Maharaj is hankering for a daughter. So, later on you find, by the blessings and by the yajna of the sages, he gets sons. But, the king's hankering for sons was very justified. Why? Because they wanted them to continue the lineage and rule the people and protect the citizens and propagate religious principles down the line and offer all-round protection for the citizens. It's meaningful. But in modern times, unnecessarily this sex life is so much highlighted. Everywhere you go, you see billboards. While I was traveling in America, I couldn't see one billboard in long journey. Rarely, once in 100 kilometers, you see one billboard there. I don't know why. Probably, they were saying that one of the reasons is, in America, people see advertisements only in internet. So, while traveling in roads, nobody is going to see your billboard very seriously. People go at a very high breakneck speed. So, they don't put any billboards. But in India, you find every 5 feet, you find a huge billboard standing in the middle of the road. You can't escape it. You have to see it. See me. You can't escape me. Like that huge billboard. And all the billboards with such obscene pictures. Portraying the dirty. Is this respect for women? They are saying that modern man has given more freedom for women. They have given more freedom so that they can be publicized like this in the public. So horrible. So, we find that in the modern civilization, this is so much highlighted as if the ultimate goal of life is in money and sex. Nothing more than that. Actually, any average person can understand the pleasure that one achieves by eating or sex life is so insignificant. It is not last longing. Even a small boy like Nachiketas, he understood. When Yamaraj was offering him, Yamaraj told him, my dear boy, actually, I will tell you only that part of the story. When Yamaraj told him, ask me for a boon, Nachiketas said, actually, I want to know what happens to those sages and saints who perform spiritual life and they go beyond this world of matter. Where do they go? I want to know. And when Yamaraj heard it, he said, even the gods of the Yore do not know much about the transcendence. It's a very difficult subject. It's not meant for the common public. 99% of the people in the world are simply like animals. They simply run after material pleasures. Why are you asking me such a difficult question? Release me from this. Ask me for some other simpler question. But Nachiketa was very intelligent. He said, Yama, who can be a better teacher than you? You are the Lord of Death. You only can answer this question. I want only this question. Then Yamaraj thought, I will distract him from this. And he said, I will give you fair maidens, I will give you chariots, I will give you horses, I will give you elephants, and I will give you vast lands. And you can marry and you can have sons, and you can rule this world for a long time to come, Nachiketas. Ask me for any material boons and benedictions, however hard to obtain. Within this earth, within this world, under the sun, and I'll provide them to you. But please release me from this one question you have asked me. He said. And Nachiketa thought for a while, and then he again spoke to Yama. He said, what is the use of all these material benedictions that you are offering me? Keep all these chariots and maidens and elephants and horses, everything, gold and silver with you only. He said, because as one gets old, all these pleasures pass away and they weaken the power of our senses. And with you in sight, who can enjoy all these pleasures? Yes, Yama. Because when we think of death, we always fear. So how can one enjoy this world? These are all useless, he said. So very intelligent boy. So when Yama heard it, he appreciated him. He said, Nachiketas, now I can understand that you are a fit candidate for hearing spiritual knowledge. You are a fit candidate. Because one should be intelligent. Prabhupada says, the word Manishinaha is used in Bhagavatam. Manishinaha means very intelligent, smart. It's not that spiritualists are fools, you know, they are giving up everything of the world so that they can suffer. No. Spiritualists are getting some pleasure which is of a higher quality than all the people who are enjoying in the world. Otherwise, why are they giving up the lower things? They are getting something higher. So, the word Kavi, the word Manishinaha, Buddhiman, these words are used in Bhagavatam, you will find. So, Nachiketas was very intelligent. And seeing his inquisitiveness, Yamaraj then told him, now I will tell you the truth. Generally, this truth is not spoken. This Brahma Vidya is not given to any Tom, Dick and Harry. It's given only to those who are very serious. Otherwise, you know, this knowledge will be taken cheaply. Those who are serious students, who are called as children of immortality. Like there is a verse, Uttishtata Jagrata Prapyabara Nibodhata. This word is used in the scriptures. Wake up, O children of immortality. Do not drink the poison of birth and death. Wake up and drink the nectar of immortality. And delight blissfully in the world of bliss in spiritual world. And everyone is invited, but not many go. That requires some intelligence. It's like, you know, if you give a 500 rupee note and a chocolate, 90% of the people will choose chocolate. It's very common because they want immediate, you know, taste in the tongue. But somebody intelligent will be ready to, you know, take the 500 rupee note and go to market and buy 500 chocolates and eat, you know. They can do that. But a fool will want one chocolate and he will be ready to forego the 500 rupee note. So the shreyas and prayas is like that. Prayas is immediate pleasure of the senses, like this sex pleasure or like this, you know, becoming like a dog and simply living a material life. So, after seeing his condition, then Yamaraj told him, there is a path of flickering pleasure, there is a path of unending bliss. Those who go in the path of flickering pleasure find no end in this world. They rot life after life, birth after birth, in different kinds of species. Sometimes in a cat's body, dog's body, camel's body, different animal's body, human body, devata's body. Sometimes you become an angel, sometimes one is damned to become a dog. Sat asat yoni janmasu, Krishna says. So Amara said the same thing. And they are going round and round in this ferris wheel of cycle of birth and death within this material world. They find no end in this chase after the mirage of pleasures. Because this pleasure chase never ends in the material world unless one wakes up. And then he said, but the path of unending bliss, if one goes in that direction in which very few people go, if one goes, then one will attain that supreme Purushottama. He uses the word Purushottama there. One will attain the lotus feet of Purushottama. And then in that place only the example of the chariot of the body comes there. He tells them, your body is like a chariot, your senses are like, the five horses, and all that he says. And the soul is like the passenger and all that he explains. And then he tells him how to control the senses, how to control the mind. And what is the purpose of controlling mind and senses? So that they can be directed towards God, to purify our consciousness. So, our mentality currently is sinful and that has to be purified and then by engaging in Krishna service we can purify them. Then we are preparing to go back to God. So, otherwise one lives like a camel. Why camel? Because the camel eats the cactus and while eating the cactus, it tears its gums and drinks its own blood, considering that to be juice of the cactus. Similarly, all these things, take smoking, they are ruining their lungs. Take drinking, they are ruining the liver. Take sex life. That all these are troublesome pleasures. They are actually 99% troublesome and insignificant pleasure is kept in all these things. So they are called camel pleasures. And then finally he is talking about the Shvabidu Varahoshta Karehi, ass. The ass is an animal who is celebrated as the greatest fool. Even amongst the animals, he said. The ass works very hard and carries the burden of maximum weight without making profit for itself. The ass is gently engaged by the washerman, whose social position is not very respectable. And the special qualification of the ass is that it is very much accustomed to being kicked by the opposite sex. A henpecked man is compared, therefore, to the ass. The general mass of people work very hard, especially in the age of Kali. In this age, the human being is actually engaged in the work of an ass, carrying heavy burdens and driving tela and rickshaws. The so-called advancement of human civilization has engaged the human being in the work of an ass. The laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in such burdensome work. I have seen it with my eyes, because I am from mechanical engineering background. So we used to go for industrial visits. If you see big machines like, milling machine and smithy shops, and where they pour cast iron, sometimes you find in smithy shops they are taking out big blocks of steel from the furnace, and they are beating, and people are sweating and swimming. Sometimes it falls on their feet and they get an accident. Sometimes climbing on the top roofs of the project, people fall from there and some people die or some people get terrible accidents. And it's always so noisy, people have to use earphones in the midst of the factory. And Prabhupada says, what is the need of such hard work? Actually, if a man does work of farming in the field, 3 months or 4 months in a year they work and they get for the whole year yield. But a boy will leave his farm and come to the city to join some forge company. And then he will be wasting, spending entire day working 12 hours, 14 hours there to make some money. Most of it he will spend it off. He may not be able to send a single penny to home. But he is only proud that our boy has gone to city to work. So village boys come to city to get pride and get fame and name in the village. And city boys go to America. And then parents can say, my son is in America now. That's the only pride. So he is saying that the laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in such a burdensome work. And after working hard during the day, the poor laborer has to be again kicked by the fair sex, not only for enjoyment, but also for so many household affairs. So the Srimad Bhagavatam categorization of the common man without any spiritual enlightenment into the society of dogs, hogs, camels and asses is not at all an exaggeration. The leaders of such ignorant masses of people may feel very proud of being adored by such a number of dogs and hogs, but that is not very flattering. The Bhagavatam openly declares that although a person may be a great leader of such dogs and hogs disguised as men, if he has no taste for being enlightened in the science of Krishna, such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as a powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or in other words, such godless leaders of dogs and hog-like men are bigger animals with the qualities of animal in greater proportion. Very powerful it is. So amongst them there are some leaders who are making them work so hard. He is calling them, he is telling that they are bigger animals with such qualities in greater proportion. So very succinctly Bhagavatam describes what is materialism with no spiritual enlightenment. So dvipada pashu is used, the word. Dvipada pashu means two-legged animal. Although they are maybe human beings. And the whole society is like that. Now you may ask, do you mean to say that the society of such people are suffering all the time? But they seem to be enjoying. But what is their enjoyment? They open a Disneyland or a SL World. And nowadays if you go, many colonies are opening swimming pools. Like there are so many colonies, they are somehow trying to find out some enjoyment in this world. You go to Lonavala, there are resorts. They know they are suffering, that is why they are finding out some alternative ways to enjoy. But they don't know. Like if you see, if you go to Disneyland, the Mickey Mouse, the She Mouse and He Mouse, they make such a big fuss about it, that when one is in the Disneyland for say 3 hours, 4 hours, you come back, you will have mouse consciousness. When you come home, when you come back to your home, you will get dreams of Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Such a huge size mouse and playful things you see, they enter your consciousness, and the next life one can become a mouse. Like, you know, many parents think children can enjoy Mickey Mouse, watching Mickey Mouse and such characters. The more we see such cartoons and keep on allowing them to enter our head, enter our brain, we get completely submerged in those remembrances. Then later on, when we grow up, and then the consciousness, mentality becomes flavored by them. And then the next life, one becomes a mouse or a dog, Disney, the Walt Disney's camp. One becomes a dog or one becomes a mouse by simply seeing them. So, on the other hand, you see Krishna pictures, you see Krishna pastimes, keep hearing about Krishna. Even if children don't know, don't understand much, simply seeing those pictures, they enter into the consciousness. Just like in Bhagavatam it is said, Uddhava as a child was playing with Krishna dolls. Parikshit was playing also with Krishna dolls. People would have Vishnu, Ram, Krishna, these dolls, and children would be playing with them. They may not know who it is. Sometimes they may ask their mother, "Mother, who is this? You have given me a toy to play, who is this?" They may say, "This is Krishna, this is Ram." And they are saying, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." In South India, children say, "Kicha," they say. So we keep calling Krishna, Krishna. So actually it is very common. Actually in every home you will find, Krishna with a cow, small doll. Children play with that. It's very common actually. By calling Krishna's name, by touching those children play with that. And then they see the parents having a deity in the room, and there they see that the parents are worshipping, offering flower garland to the deity and offering bhog. And seeing the children will come and take their, toy Krishna, doll. And they will do exactly the same thing. Our mother is doing this, I will do here. That's what they develop on. And then when it enters their consciousness, it becomes so natural for them, and they will feel that actually Krishna is like one of their brothers. I said they will feel such a nearness to Krishna very easily. When they grow up, it becomes very easy for them to relate with Krishna. Otherwise what happens, if 25 years one had nothing to give and take with Krishna, and then you have to say, awaken your Krishna consciousness, you have to push so much. The people understand Krishna, surrender to Krishna, don't be rebellious of Krishna. If you don't surrender, Krishna will punish you. Material world is a jail and everything. Why all this philosophy is needed? Because if it is given as sanskar from very childhood, it is very natural. You don't have to, make one surrender to Krishna at a gunpoint, So, that's why Prabhupada is saying here. So here, one more very important point is said in this purport. Prabhupada is talking about the holy name, as he says here, importance of chanting of the holy name of the Lord by every progressive gentleman. The supreme interest of life is eternal with full knowledge and bliss. Those who are bewildered by the external features of the material world are engaged in the animal propensities of eat, drink and be merry type of life. Otherwise sometimes you see here people celebrating a festival, yearly few times you find, people come together, they put some rock music and they try to dance and get some happiness, or the people come together to dine together, eating together, or they play some games. They try to concoct some games. See, the living entity wants fun. We cannot deny that. The living entity wants enjoyment. To dance is natural for us. To sing is natural for us. Why? Because Radha and Krishna are singing and dancing. Like we sing in that Radhikashtakam. Rasa lasya gita narma satkalali pandita prema ramya rupa vesha sadgunali mandita. Srimati Radharani has all these qualities. Rasa lasya gita narma. She is singing, she is dancing beautifully. She is joking. Dharma means joking. She is the one who can joke the best, dance the best, sing the best. And with love, with beautifully dressed form. So, the spiritual world is full of mirth and merry enjoyment. But when we have left that world, when we come here, the living entity has made an independent plan to enjoy separate from Krishna. And he's trying to make this world of dead matter into a place of enjoyment. And he's struggling, trying to concoct some games. And here I have heard, sometimes when you're sleeping in the ashram, you hear what is going on in the neighborhood. So they say, everyone should be excited about the game. Try to be excited. Don't be dull. They're trying to create excitement, although nobody is excited. People are stressed out, frustrated. But somehow they bring them together, put some rock music, make everyone feel happy. Like they have a laughing club in Pune, you know that? You are supposed to laugh. Now they say, 1, 2, 3, everyone should laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Opening their mouth. Humor is very natural for the living entity. You study Shastra, there is so much humor. Isn't it? If you study the pastimes of the Lord, there is so much humor there. But you know, when I went with one gentleman who comes here, took me once to show me some of those clubs. Actually, he said we can give some program there and introduce Krishna consciousness to them. So he took a laughing club. I saw they systematically laugh. After every 3-4 minutes, they will be told, after 1, 2, 3, you have to laugh now. And they don't tell any joke to laugh. You have to just laugh. Why they laugh, they say, because by laughing, they are saying that some nerves move in your face in such a way that it's healthy for you if you laugh. Foolish. So, this is material world. So, in spiritual world, one can naturally laugh. It can come from the heart. So, Prabhupada is saying that they are simply wasting their lives by the unseen passing away of valuable years. We should know in perfect consciousness that the human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success. And the easiest possible procedure to attain this is to chant the holy name of the Lord. So, subsequently Prabhupada explains about the first offense, second offense and the seventh offense here. Shastras explain that first there is ignorance, and because we have ignorance of the identity, we have desire to commit sin. And when there is desire to commit sin, then there is sinful action. These are one after another. First there is ignorance of the identity. We don't know who I am. I am the body or I am the soul, we don't know. Because of it, there is a desire to commit sin. Now we all have experience, even after we become devotees, our body and the senses are performing devotion service, but the mind is still not free from sinful tendency. Mind is still inclined towards sinful habits. But if one chants the holy name, there is a promise given in the scriptures that ignorance and desire to commit sin will be eradicated if one continues chanting the holy name with great intensity and seriousness. But sometimes, while executing devotional service, a devotee, due to the desire to commit sin becoming more and more prominent, helplessly, unwillingly, unwantingly, in an unpremeditated way, a devotee can fall down in spiritual life and indulge in sin. And if such a devotee becomes extremely repentant and cries tears of repentance and remorse, then such a devotee will be forgiven by the holy name. And again, chanting of the holy name will uplift him and purify his consciousness and can place him in Krishna's lotus feet. But here what is being said is, someone who has come to this moment, who is chanting the holy name, and then he knows that I have a desire to commit sin, but he makes plan to enjoy by committing sin. And he thinks, after all, holy name is there, it will take care of it. Once in a while, if I commit sin, there is no problem. Like I met a devotee. So this devotee was indulging in some sinful activities, and when I asked him, then how is it that you are indulging in activity and you don't feel any repentance? So he was telling that, I heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan. It's a Patita Pavan movement. Patita Pavan means he is a deliverer of the fallen souls. So Prabhuji, I thought that even if I, break one of the regulative principles again and again, many times, Lord Chaitanya will take care. Actually, this devotee, he is one who is having adultery. Adultery means, loose connection with women. So, when I told, this is a great danger, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with Chota Haridas, how he dealt with them. Mahaprabhu was like fire. When Chota Haridas just lustfully looked at a woman, Father Chaitanya Mahaprabhu banished him from the company of Vaishnavas. Totally. And many Vaishnavas felt sympathetic towards him. And then they came to Mahaprabhu and pleaded for forgiveness and said, please Mahaprabhu, once he did like that, please forgive him, next time he will not do. And Mahaprabhu said, he became very angry. He said, if you all of you are going to persuade me, he said, then I am going. Let him stay with you and I am going, he said. And all the Vaishnavas cried. They made Mahaprabhu stay there. Then after 3-4 days, Paramananda Puri came, who is very senior. Then all the Vaishnavas ran to him and said, please, kindly, you recommend, Chota Haridas to him. When he recommended, Mahaprabhu understood, these people are persuading me through Paramananda Puri. Then he was, in the same way, he was very angry. And then after a week, Chota Haridas committed suicide. He entered into the Triveni Sangamam waters in Prayag. And the news came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the news reached him that he has entered the waters of Triveni Sangam and he died, Mahaprabhu said, well done. Somebody may think, maybe Mahaprabhu may say, why did he commit suicide? I never, thought that he will do such a thing and all that. He never felt any remorse. Mahaprabhu said, well done. He did well. Very good. Such Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose heart is so tender, so soft. Throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find the sweetness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why did such a Mahaprabhu with his such sweet nature and consciousness and heart, why did he behave so rudely or so harshly in the case of Chota Haridas? Bhaktan Saraswati gives the explanation to this. He says, for all time to come, Mahaprabhu wanted to teach his followers that illicit sex is something he will never tolerate. He will never tolerate that. Because if he forgave Chota Haridas at that time, his future followers will say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan. He forgave Chota Haridas, so I can also do it. So his whole movement will become polluted with illicit sex. And in this way his mission will not be accomplished. It's considered a very grievous sin. Even in the Islam, Quran, you will find illicit sex is considered a terrible sin. Amongst all the four regulative principles, one should never commit illicit sex. A very terrible sin it is. So, I was telling this person that what a shame. Mahaprabhu, you are saying that Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan and you are ignorant of the scriptures. What kind of devotee are you? You claim to be a devotee, but you are not studying the scriptures properly. A devotee should never be ignorant of the truth. A devotee should know how Mahaprabhu acts. So Mahaprabhu has been very strict about this. If somebody indulges in a wrong behavior, man or a woman act loosely with each other and then they say, no problem, I am chanting the holy name and Mahaprabhu's movement is Patita Pavan movement. Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan, not Kapata Pavan. If somebody slips and falls down in an unpremeditated way, in an unmeritated way, and then because we are living in a world of temptations, it is difficult for us to control the mind and senses. But if one is chanting the holy names of the Lord, rising early in the morning with devotees, participating in the morning program, it's very easy. Prabhupada says it's very difficult to fall down. If a devotee is strictly practicing all the principles, one cannot fall down very easily. Krishna consciousness is a scientific process. If you practice it properly, it works. And if somebody is failing to practice, nobody falls down suddenly. Everyone falls down, has a history if you see. And over a period of time, one becomes weak and weak and weak and he is knocked off. Like that. So, Prabhupada, you see how strong words Prabhupada is writing, you should see in this purport. He is saying here, the powerful holy name of the Lord can certainly deliver one from sinful effects, but one who desires to utilize this transcendental potency of the holy name of the Lord in one's sinister activities is the most degraded person in the world, he is saying. See, if this person is chanting the holy name, that means he is a devotee. But Prabhupada is calling him here as the most degraded person in the world. Just because we wear tilak and wear kantimala and we are chanting, we don't become first class persons. If you do this seventh offense, we are considered the most degraded person in the world. Such persons are never excused by the Lord or by any agent of the Lord, he says. Which means, Lord doesn't forgive him, like Lord Chaitanya didn't forgive. Sometimes within ISKCON, Within our organizations, sometimes people do this kind of things and they are forgiven. How can they be forgiven? If they are forgiven, they are not following Prabhupada. What is Prabhupada saying here? Nor are they forgiven by the agent of the Lord. Who is the agent of the Lord? Who is the agent of the Lord? Devotees, yeah. That means devotees should not forgive. If somebody indulges in this kind of activity, they should not be forgiven. What is the meaning of forgiven? They should be. So in ISKCON they have made a rule now. If anybody slips from this regulative principle, immediately they are removed from the post. They cannot hold any post at all, at least for minimum next 5-6 years. They are not offered any responsible service at all. One should know one's Lakshman Rekha, to what extent one can deal with others. So it's very important. Prabhupada is saying even the agent of the Lord should not forgive. Sometimes there is a misunderstanding amongst devotees. They say, you know, once Bhaksan Saraswati told one disciple that, you know, get out. He threw him out and then he went. And then other devotees are telling, Maharaj, he was a nice devotee. And then he said, but I cannot forgive him because I am his guru. But you can forgive, you know, and you can engage him in Krishna service. Just like Kala Krishnadas was rejected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was accepted by devotees. So see, these kind of pastimes can be thoroughly misunderstood. What is the meaning of what he said is, if somebody falls in the standard, he should not be given any responsible service. But he can be, you know, engaged in some service. Like Kala Krishnadas was engaged in some service. And very important point, it's not that Kala Krishnadas ran after them. He was purposely attacked by the Bhattaharis, who pulled him into their company, and they wanted to use him to beget children through their women. So they pulled him, and Mahaprabhu caught hold of his shikha and brought him out from the company of those evil-minded people. He did that. So no one in our movement can indulge in a wrong thing like that and then go on scot-free without being punished. Krishna is watching all the activities. No so-called Vaishnava should forgive them in the name of saying that, you know, Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavan, so we should forgive. That's why you have to know the line. Who should be forgiven, who should not be forgiven. Who is forgivable and who is punishable. Clearly one should know the line. It's not that our movement is a movement of compassion and then, you know, you can be compassionate to anybody and everybody. If we say like that, then we can show from Chaitanya Charitamrita why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not compassionate towards Vatahiridas. If he wasn't compassionate, why should we be compassionate? Of course, when the first sannyasi in ISKCON, he left sannyas and he got married and he came to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya rejected Chota Haridas. But I cannot reject you because I need someone to help my movement and to make this movement move forward. So I need you, I cannot reject you, he said. And then of course, but he didn't say, okay, I've fallen down, anyway I'll give you again sannyas, take it. No. He told him, you become a grihastha, you marry and you have your family and then you practice Krishna consciousness. First you become stable, then you can preach. So Prabhupada never told him that, you know, okay, once you fell down from sannyas, you can again be sannyas. No, he didn't give that. So this should be understood properly. So a devotee should never even contemplate this in the mind, thinking that I am doing so much chanting, 16 rounds a day, 2 hours, and how many years I am chanting. Now too much punya has come now, you know. So little bit sin also will be alright. You know, I have oceanic punya, because I have oceanic amount of punya. Little bit of, you know, sin sprinkling on that, what will it do? If somebody thinks like that, he is the most degraded person in the world, Prabhupada is saying. Why? Because the holy name of the Lord is more merciful than the Lord, it is said. See, Krishna is putting so many conditions. Sarvadhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja, he says. Yeyatama prapadyante tamsadhi bhajameham. So many conditions he is saying. But the holy name comes from the spiritual world. Golokera premadan haranam. And it comes into the material world and it agrees. And the holy name is agreeing to be in the tips of the devotees. Lips of the devotees, and devotees are chanting, singing, we are hearing it. It enters into our ears and it awakens Krishna consciousness and that's why we all become devotees. How we became devotees? By hearing the holy name from the lips of some Vaishnava. Holy name is so wonderful. And the holy name, that's the most difficult job. Of what? It destroys all the sinful reactions. Like I got a verse, very interesting verse. See what is this verse says, Sarvatra Sarvakaleshu Epi Kurvanti Patakam. Nama Sankirtanam Kritva Yanti Vishnu Paramparam. It says Sarvatra Sarvakaleshu. If a man has been doing sins all the time, in all situations, taking advantage of the surroundings, he has been always committing sin in his life. And then somehow he came across a devotee. And he became a Vaishnava. And then he started doing Nam Sankirtan. Such a person, what happens to him? He becomes free of all sins and he goes back to Vaikuntha. Which means, before we were introduced to the holy name, whatever sins we knowingly, unknowingly did, there is no problem. Holy name will eradicate all those sins. Because we are ignorant animals. If one indulged in some non-sinful activity before getting the holy name, then that can be forgiven because karma and nirdhati principle will work. But after meeting a devotee, accepting the holy name, and while chanting the holy name, we are becoming awakened to knowledge. So in knowledge, if somebody is breaking the principles and committing sin, then he is verily condemned. Seventh offense is a terrible offense. Namno baladyasahi papa buddhihi. So Prabhupada is writing such strong sentences here. So one should therefore utilize one's life in glorifying the Lord by all means, without any offense. Such activity of life, even for a moment, is never to be compared to a prolonged life of ignorance. Like the lives of tree and other living entities who may live for thousands of years without prosecuting any spiritual advancement. Actually, spiritual advancement will be very quick if one approaches the holy name with great respect and with the endeavor to avoid the offenses. But because many a times one commits repeated offenses, like the first offense Prabhupada explains here. Actually, what is the connection in these 3 points which we discussed today? First he talks about materialistic life. Then he talks about the offense against the holy name. What is the connection? If one is living a materialistic life, then one becomes a bahirartha maninaha. Bahirartha manina means he considers the glamorous life of matter to be very attractive. And Daksha Prajapati was like that. Daksha Prajapati was very attracted to impressing other people. So he committed the first offense. You will see that. So when one becomes attached to material life and expanding material life, he, as devotees, we also have two sides. We are trying to expand our spiritual life. We are also trying to expand material life because of material consciousness. Those things create the weeds, and attachment to spiritual life creates the crops. So the weeds have to be uprooted. And when one commits blunder, when one commits sin, then the seventh offense comes. What is it? One tries to cover up the sin, thinking that I am chanting the holy name. Like Indra committed 3 times blunder. Killing Vishwarupa, killing Vritrasura and all that. And then he is trying to cover up. And then he was chased by sin, personified. So he found it very difficult to escape. At last he went to Manasarovar and entered into the lotus stem where Lakshmiji resides. He took shelter of internal potency. And she protected him. Otherwise there was no scope of being protected. So, I was telling you, ignorance, desire to commit sin and sinful act. So one should begin with eradicating this ignorance by gaining proper wisdom from purports of Prabhupada like this. And the desire to commit sin, the magnitude will be reduced by approaching the holy name with respect. Actually there is a desire to commit sin in every living entity, that's why we are here. But that can be gradually minimized and uprooted completely. That's why Prabhupada in the beginning of the purport he says, momentary spiritual life is superior than a long ignorant life. And that momentary spiritual life means chanting of the holy name, he says. Which is the conclusion of all knowledge. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki.